Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. You know, I was been thinking about how we talk about love in church all the time. I mean, every time you go to church, it seems like, especially some churches, it's all about the love of God. How much God loves you. You know, that's been a theme in the American churches through the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And it was a very big, strong theme. It's a really push during that period of time about how much God loves you. And it's amazing how much God does love us. I don't know, I have a hard time loving some people myself. And so when I think about God loving everybody, that's really incredibly special. And him, he talks about how much he loves us. And then oftentimes we'll go to church, and this is not just every now and then, but a lot of times, how much we love him. And that is who's easy for us to minister about how much we love him. And very seldom we ever hear about really a love that is for others that does something in our own life. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm trying to say to you. It is important for you to understand what a church is all about. A church is not a place where we just get together and sing, clap songs, kind of like hang out with other Christians for a little bit, then go back in the world. The church does two things that are eternal, two, only two. The two things that are eternal is one, that it brings salvation to those that are not saved. Very important. Second is they build mature Christians. That's where the word of God gets inside of them and becomes the treasure inside their heart that produces the fruit of life. You know the difference between what is God and what isn't God. Listen to what I'm going to say. Most people that call themselves Christians, I've said this to you before, most people that call themselves Christians that go to church do not know the difference between what is God and what isn't God. If it's good to them, it must be God. If it's not good, it must not be God. But the error in that kind of thinking is our American good is changing all the time. But God never changes. So it's therefore it's important for you to understand what really is God, listen to me now, and what isn't God, and then to be able to, during times of pressure, adapt to what is God and go through the problem, go through the valley of the shadow of death and come out on the other side. A lot of times people don't understand that is really why you come to church, so that you can learn, grow, how your marriage works better, how you raise your children better, how to deal with problems and stress better, how to live out life and be that strong Christian that God wants you to be at the end of your life, not just in the beginning of your life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you pray that prayer of salvation, man, that's when the journey begins. That's from that point on, you gotta grow, you gotta get the inside, you gotta get the material so that your thinking now becomes the thinking that God would have you to think. Your operation becomes his operation, not just yours and what you feel. And so we gather together and we learn things, and that's what part I'm going to play tonight is sharing with you a principle that I think is wonderful. I love this word love. It talks about it a lot in scripture. It doesn't talk about it more than any other things. There's actually other things that God talks about besides love. But love is a very funny little subject. And oftentimes it's misunderstood because it's taught so many different ways. But tonight, I want to just share with you the title of this message is called What Love Proves. Did you know? Now watch this. When you operate in the love of God, not only to God, which is easy, and to people who are nice, which is easy, but to those who are not so nice, that you are operating in a principle that proves something, watch this, that proves something about who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, talk's cheap with God. We come along and say, we love God. God, we love you so much. We want your will. We want your plan. And then all of a sudden, God brings somebody in our life that's irritating. Anybody ever had an irritating person? I had a preacher not too long ago who was irritating to my life. I mean, I spent a lot of time with him and it was irritating. I didn't like the way he treated his wife and I just didn't like the guy at all. And I even said it to Deborah. I said, Deborah, man, I tell you, I don't like men that don't treat their wife well. And I said, this guy is really into himself, really into his ministry. I could mention his name, but you wouldn't know him. And so I said, he's just really bothering me. It's all about him. It's nothing about her. She just tags along. And it's just really something that is discouraging to me. I tell you the truth, Deb, I would really like to sock him right in the face. And is that okay that I be honest with you? You know, I'm not a love boat captain. Can you tell? You know, I'm going to say it like it is, say it out in front. I told Debbie, I'd like to just sock that guy right in the face. And I really felt inside of me, he deserved it. I really felt that I could justify it. I really felt like I was right. Have you ever met somebody that just irritates you and you have every excuse to be ugly to them as they are ugly to you or ugly about a situation that absolutely turns you off? You know what I'm talking about, anybody? We've all been there. I found something interesting. God says, how you treat him has got to be based on what I'm asking you to do, not on what you feel. And I just hated hearing that. And I said, God, I'm going to walk in love with this person that irritates me. I'm going to walk in love with him. I'm going to, you know, be kind. I'm going to be supportive. I'll shut my mouth and listen to his stuff. I will ignore the way he does what he does, and I will just walk in love. God spoke to me and says, yes, and I now want you to write him a check for $5,000 for his ministry. And I said, wait a minute, devil, get behind me. I mean, I could handle anything but money. This is, you know, and I knew it was God. You know, I'm just playing with him. When I said, devil, get behind me, you know. Some of you got it, some of you didn't. Some of you going, oh my goodness. No, I'm just playing. So he said, write a check for $5,000. I didn't want to write a check for $5. Remember, I'm the guy that wanted to sock him in the face. So I wrote a check to his ministry, you know, and gave it to him, said, love you, brother. Keep telling somebody about Jesus. And I just complained all the way home. I mean, I just complained like a little sourpuss baby all the way home. Thank God I've got a spiritual wife who slapped me a few times and got sense back in my life. I'm kidding, she didn't slap me at all, but some of you think she did. But guess what? I'm grateful that I did what God would have me to do. I didn't want it. But what love proves says a lot about you. And when you operate in God's love towards people, it's easy towards those you like. It's easy towards your friends. That's why they're your friends. If they weren't to you, you wouldn't call them friends if you didn't like them. We're not talking about those kind of people. Love towards others sometimes is a very irritating thing to have to do. But when you do it, man, it says so much about you. And when you don't do it, it also says something about you. So the title of the message is, could you help me with it? What love proves. Is it? But one more time. What love proves. And very important for us to see that because it'll help all of us to operate in something called God's love in every situation. Love, it is the greatest gift given in Scripture. Did you know that? For God so loved the world that he gave. It's amazing. It's also, if you will, it is the greatest commandment of all. Not all the other things you do. It's a whole thing. It's all about love. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 13, I'm not going to put this on the overhead for you. It says this. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love never fails. And when you and I get together, we start to operate in this. It really shows us to be, now watch this. I talked about it earlier. A mature Christian. And that mature Christian is exposed by what love, if you will, what love proves. So tonight, real quick, I just want to mention a few things to you. Jesus makes a statement. He says, and I want to put it up on the overhead in John 14, chapter verse 15. It says this, if you love me, I don't know if you ever saw this before, but let's talk about it just for a second. If you love me, well, God, is there any question? I'm here tonight. I call you Lord. I have a St. Christopher around my neck or a cross. I even have a decal on my car. I have a tattoo that says Jesus is Lord. If you love me, can I just say this? A lot of times we say we love God, but let's be honest with each other. We really don't love God until we prove our love to God. Because God's smart enough not to just take you at your word. In fact, even a bank is not stupid enough not to take you at your word, And God's a whole lot smarter than a lending institution. And God is waiting for you and I to go beyond just what we say to him, but what we act is saying more than what we say. And if our actions don't correspond with what we say, then it says a lot about who we are. Does anybody understand that? So when Jesus said, if, he's saying this to his disciples, man, these guys have given everything up. They've followed him around. They've slept on the ground. They give up their businesses. They were fishermen and made a lot of money. In fact, there's tradition tells us that Peter was married to a very wealthy woman. And they, in the Sea of Galilee, had built cement walls. They'd catch fish and bring them into these walls like big pools inside the lake. This is just tradition. It's not in the Bible, but he was a very wealthy person. And they would put the fish inside these big pools, and you could go to Peter's house or Peter's business, and they'd sell you fresh fish, not just something that was caught a night or two ago. And he was very wealthy. His mother-in-law was very wealthy. His family was very wealthy. And we find this is that he gave everything up. And here's Jesus. Now, how would you like to give everything up? And Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to have to do something. And you're going to have to hook up with my will instead of your will. Keep my commandments. And a lot of times we don't realize when we want his will more than we want ourselves. Let me say it again. When we want his will more than we want ourselves. Hold on. You didn't get it. When we want his will more than we want ourself and our own will, then that becomes the treasure of our heart. And the treasure of our heart produces the good fruit that he talks about all through scripture. Now, sometimes people aren't there yet. Of course, that's where grace comes in, love comes in, tolerance comes in, mercy comes in, God cares about you, he's not putting pressure on you. But there is a time when we're gonna have to grow to maturity. And we're going to have to prove that we love him besides lip service or going to church once a mile or even giving our finances. Anybody can do that. It's the lifestyle he's looking for. What comes out of your heart, it speaks louder than what comes out of your mouth. Is anybody listening? Could everybody just say, what love proves?
What love proves.
One more time.
What love proves.
Five quick things tonight so that you can write them down. And keep them in mind as you live out your life so you can be strong in the things of God. First one, what love proves. Love proves true discipleship. Not just occasional discipleship. Not just here today and gone tomorrow. Not just somebody who's blowing in and blowing up and blowing out. But true discipleship comes through love proving who you are. A disciple, the word disciple is a word that means a learned, disciplined learner. In other words, they are intensely learning something. I don't want to use that word tonight. I'll make it easier for us to understand. The word disciple means somebody who desires more than anything to follow, not to lead. See, most of the time we're leading through our own wants and wills. God, here's what I want to do. I need you to be on board. God says, well, here's what I want you to do, and I want you to get on board. And it's about whose will wins, whether or not love has proved who you are, a true disciple or not a true disciple. Because there's a lot of people that are disciples, but they're not true disciples because they don't operate in the things of God's desire for you and I, which is love. So well, let's look at a scripture on that. In John, the 13th chapter, starting in verse number 34, it says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, stop right there. What does that mean, as you have loved me? God gave his life for us. When we were undeserving, he paid the price for us. He is patient with us. He is merciful to us. He is giving to us. He forgives all the time. Is that not true? Has anybody ever screwed up since you've been a Christian? Come on, raise your hand. The rest of you are liars. And guess what? Here's the deal. We all screwed up. And his forgiveness comes in. So when he makes a statement, love one another as I have loved you. And then he says that you also love one another. But I like this in verse number 35, which is kind of interesting. By this, all will know that you are my, what's that word? Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What's the word?
Disciple.
In other words, I'm here, disciplined learner of the things of God. Why? What am I learning? His will instead of my will. I'm a disciplined learner. Everybody will know that by what? Loving one another. If you have loved one another, all of a sudden, here we see this, and Jesus uses himself as an example. As I have loved you, I've given my life, I've poured it out for you, I went the extra mile for you, I walked in forgiveness. So here's all these people that offend us. And you know darn well, some of you men know what I'm talking about, like to just punch them right in the face. But God says that's not the answer. And to prove that you really are a follower of Christ, you will even love those who irritate you. Is that not true? I mean, that's kind of a cool thing. What love proves? People that irritate you, you have to love them like God. Don't you think it would have been irritating if you were God and saw the way people acted towards God? And yet he still goes to the cross. I love this. And verse number 35, see this word, if you have loved one, if you have loved one. Everybody will know that you're my disciple if. The big word there again is what? If. Everybody say if. So here's this big word all of a sudden. If doesn't mean that just because you're a Christian, now you're going to start walking in love. You got to make yourself do this because you want to prove you are a follower of Christ. I will give up myself just to share who Christ is in my life. Is that cool? Number two, everybody say, what love proves? Now, come on, everybody, wake up. Everybody say, what love proves? Thank you. Love proves how genuine you are. I mean, can you imagine being shown up if you are real or not real? I was in a place the other day, I think it was a bank, and I put down a $100 bill there. I said, make a deposit, you know, and put down a $100 bill. And the lady takes that $100 bill. Ever seen them mark them with a pen? Holds it up to the light. Why? Because there's counterfeit $100 bills. Now, if you walked up to the teller and you said, I want to deposit this, and it was a $3 bill, they're not going to deposit it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because it's a counterfeit. And in order for you to be proved genuine, that you are the real deal, Let me say it again. That you are the real deal. Even if you're not, you're at least working towards that. Maybe you're still a stinker because you haven't got to the place of maturity yet. God's patient. God loves you. God long-suffering with you. And we're long-suffering and everybody else around you should be too. So this is a good thing. But here he comes along. It proves that you're real. And I don't know about you. If anything's going to prove that I'm real, I want God to know that I am real. I want to know I'm real. Because there's all kinds of people do Christianity for a lot of different reasons. Some people come into church because their mom and dad told them that's where they ought to be. Some people go to church because they have to go to church. Some people go to church because they've lost everything and they just want to get it all back. Some people go, but have you ever known somebody who just goes to church because they're genuinely in love with Jesus and want to grow? That's what this is all about. I mean, there's a lot of people why you are here tonight. But the thing that's most important is that if you can learn something, that as you express love to others, you're going to find out that is something that displays to God that you are real. And man, when he knows you're real, then the pressure's on. When the pressure's on, do you run or do you act? And if you act in love, may I say this to you? All of a sudden, God's going to bless you and support you. So he says genuineness is so important, and it's proved, if you can imagine, through that product called love. In John, the 21st chapter, verse number 16, John 21, 16, he's talking to Peter. And he's, to me, he's kind of bugging Peter, you know, because he's asking Peter more than once about something. But what he asked Peter is really interesting. Watch this. He says, to him again, the second time. So this, he's already asked him, Simon, son of Jonah, this Peter, you know him better as Peter. He says, do you love me? Second time, he's already asked him. Peter's already answered, yes, Lord, I love you. But isn't it neat that God doesn't just hear our words, but it's waiting for the lifestyle to follow the words. Is anybody listening? And he says these words. He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. I mean, Peter believed that God knew that he loved him. And he says to him, do something. Tend my sheep. Take care of other people. That's a powerful statement. He didn't just say, hey, thanks for loving me, Peter. Great, pat you on the back, good job. That's the right answer. The right answer comes when you do what your mouth said you were gonna do. Is anybody listening tonight? See, because there's a lot of us in there and say, I love God. You don't do nothing about it. I'm not trying to pick on you, you know it. But in order for you to be proved genuine, you're gonna have to start doing what he says. And he says, if you love me, you're gonna have to keep. Is anybody listening? My commandments. Anybody getting this at all? So fun because it tells the truth. So love proves that you're genuine. Number three, everybody say, what love proves? Everybody, come on. What love proves? Love proves your spiritual speech. Let me say it again. And I'll put it up on the overhead. It's not overhead. Love proves your spiritual speech. We have a lot of talk that's spiritual. But in order for it to be proved, it's proved through love. Kind of fascinating. I can come along, talk a lot, or I can look spiritual. How about this? I stand in front of you and I raise my hands to God and I start speaking in tongues. Oh, da ba sanda ro, kubasa dianda ro, humba sanda. Aren't I spiritual? See? But that may look good to you, but if I'm not a lover, then guess what? It's no good. My spiritual speech is proved by love. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter verse 1 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, that's pasandarabakiras undar. And it goes on, he says, but if I have not love, it is nothing more than a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, it's worthless sound. So my spiritual talk is worthless sound if I'm not operating in, because love proves my spiritual speech. Is anybody listening? And so here I am being very spiritual before God, and I'm not acting in any kind of love. That's why I think God blessed this church, because of all the outreach ministries and food pantries and feeding all the people. That was an expression of love. People come to me all the time, used to come all the time, and say, why do you feed people that don't go to your church? That's like stupid. I said, because God loves them. And I love who God loves. And if God loves them, then I love them. But they don't even know who you are. Who cares? They don't even know about the church. Who cares? They could care less. They're just takers. Yeah, but God loves them. And we go pick up people. You know why you pick up people in buses like we do? 26,000 people or something in buses? Who does that? Someone said, why do you pick up people? They don't have any money. If they had money, they'd have a car. They'd drive themselves, or they'd take a bus. Why would you pick up people? Because we love people. Because listen, we're proving something. We're proving that our spiritual talk is not just talk. It's backed by love. And love what? Never what? Fails. Love never what? Back never fails. Nothing else you get from tonight, that's what you need to remember, is love never fails. You operate in love. Now listen, me punching a guy in the nose that I was mad at would have failed. A couple of things would have happened. One, his nose would have been hurt. Two, my wife would have hurt me. Three, I'm old and can't make a very good fist anymore, so I most likely have to slap him. So my goodness, it doesn't do any good, but love broke it all down. You hear what I'm saying? Is anybody listening? Now, my spiritual talk is not just backed by my thinking. My spiritual talk is backed by my heart. And that never fails. Is anybody listening? It doesn't happen overnight. It's like I'm going to be loving to you, and if you're not loving to me, I'm going to crack you one. It doesn't work that way. You love and keep on loving. You listen, the Bible says you heap coals on there if you have to. Is anybody listening? So important for us. Number four, everybody say, what love proves. Number four, what love proves is this, the reality of my new life. I mean, I got born again. I have a new life. My old things passed away. Thank God I've got new life ahead of me. I don't have to go back. I'm a child of God, and I have new hope, a new future, and I have a new life in Christ Jesus. And you know what the proof of it is? Love. Can you imagine that? It wasn't faith. It wasn't just hope, even though they're very important. But what proves my reality of my new life is love. 1 John 3rd chapter verse 14 says these words. We know that we have passed from death to life. Watch this. Stop right there. Look back up at me. We know that we have passed from death to life. One more time. Watch this. We know. We ought to know something when it says we know something. We know we've passed from death. Oh, I used to be dead, but now I'm alive. I got born again. Is anybody listening? And if I really am trying to express to the world about the life that I now have, that new life, It says this, that I have passed, we know this, from death to life. But then I like the next word, because. Thank God he's going to tell us what it is. We love the brethren. That means men, women, everybody. He who does not love his brother. I hate these verses. He that does not love his brother. Can we just leave it there? That's good enough, man. It says, leave it like that. I mean, I don't want the rest of that verse. Because it really is a verse that jerks all the slack out of your underwear and mine. He that does not love his brother lives, stays, dwells in death. Wait a minute. I prayed and invited Jesus into my heart. Who's he writing this to? Believers. But I call myself a Christian. Who's he writing this to? Believers. I've got that cross around my neck. I carry my Bible into a restaurant. I'm a believer, uh-huh. But here's the proof of your new life. Because we love the brethren. Not because we went to church. Not because you carried the Bible. Not because you learned the song. Not because you white people finally got the rhythm. I can say that, you can't. You know, and so here's the deal on all of this. The deal is, man, because, and if you don't, I hate those last words, but it's true. And so when God said, write the check, and I wrote the check, and I'm telling you, I wrote the check, I resisted it. I told, look at her saying yes, she's shaking her head, yes, she knows. But you know what, it set me free. The next time I saw him, I disliked him as much as the first time I saw him. But I was free. Free to not judge, free to not criticize. I was free. I had done my job, what God asked me to do. He's the one that'll straighten out his people. I'm not the one to straighten them out. Is anybody listening to me? So important for us. So we've come a long ways. Number one, here's what, everybody say these words. What love proves. Number one, remember this, love proves true discipleship. Number two, love proves how genuine you are. Number three, love proves spiritual speech. Number four, we just finished it, love proves the reality of my new life. Can I ask you for one more? Do you have time for one more? Here it is. Number five, love proves simply my love for God. It's as simple as that. If I love him, then I need to love others. I need to love them because I'm in love with him and he's in love with them. Is anybody listening? I love this word. It says in 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and then he comes along and says, hates his brother. The word hate for us English people is that, you know, like we really don't like that guy. I really can't stand him. I hate that guy. We all understand what that means. That word hate to God is completely different. Do you know what hate is to God? This is shocking. This is shocking. Loveless. If you're not operating in love, you're operating in hate. Black and white. Terrible. But it's true. He says, hates his brother. He is a liar. If someone says, I love God, and I continued despising the guy, and listen, I'm a pastor. You know how many problems I've faced over the years? You know how many people that have come at me and called me names and wrote dirty, rotten letters about me? And so, I mean, it's a constant abuse. It's like, the sheep, I found out, are sweet, kind, fluffy, but they also can bite. And so it's like over the years, I've had to learn this. I remember one guy walked up to me, prophesied after church service. I was only a Christian a year and a half. He says, there's coming a day when God's going to remove both of your legs and you're going to be in a wheelchair walking around on the floor, scooting around on the floor, and you're going to die before him on that chair. I don't even know the guy's name. I mean, that's the kind of stuff pastors put up with all the time. It's unbelievable. I can't tell you. I go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. When we were pastoring, I wrote this in my book, the first book. Second book's coming out pretty soon. And the first book came out, and I wrote this as one of the things in there, is that when we were young, brand new Christians, we had a church, maybe 150 people. 150 people in Lake Arrowhead. And a lady after church service came up to me and said, Pastor, are you going to the pastor's prayer meeting? I said, pastor's prayer meeting? She said, yes. All the Christian churches on the mountain are getting together at so-and-so church, and they're going to pray, all the pastors, for this mountain. And don't you think you ought to go? And I said, well, yes, I should. I will. When is it? She told me when and where. And I went ahead and got in my car that day. I was really excited about meeting some of the other pastors. I've been pastoring about a year and a half. And we had a little church, 150 people, you know. Just kids. Debbie and I were just kids. And all of a sudden, their pastors sitting around, about 25 pastors, and they're sitting around. And this guy says, I'm pastor so-and-so church. And that's great. And I'm pastor so-and-so church. Pastor so-and-so and so-and-so church. The next guy was the pastor everybody knew. He had the largest church, the greatest education. He had more people than anybody else on the mountain. He was the most influential pastor of the whole mountain. So it was kind of a privilege being in the same room in a prayer meeting with him. At least I thought so. He looks at me as he stood up and he says, are you the guy on that rim forest area of Lake Arrowhead? I said, yep, I'm him. He says, well, I want all you pastors to know that I will never pray with this man. I want you to know that if you pray with this man, you're not a Christian. And I'm leaving right now. And I'm getting up and leaving. And he stood up and walked out. My face was bright red with sweat running down my face. I was brand new at pastoring, and I had no idea that somebody could hate me that much. And then one after another, every pastor stood up. All 24 of them stood up and left. The only one that stayed, it was that guy, because it was his church we were meeting in. I think he might have gotten up too. I was weary. I started to cry. I walked to my car, shaking. Sat in the car. I mean, I'm 6'5". I'm 200 in those days, maybe 220 pounds. But, you know, I'm 6 foot. I was 6'5". I mean, I'm 4'2". And so it's like, you know, people shrink a little bit as they get older. And but anyway, I sat in the car. I didn't want to go home to Debbie. And I just cried. And I remember crying such racking tears of hurt that I said, God, I beg God, let me quit. I don't want to be a pastor ever again. That is the meanest group of people I've ever met in my life. And then afterwards, it went from, Debbie can tell you, went from one bad experience with pastors to another bad, to the place where I didn't realize that I hated pastors. I loved God's people, but I hated pastors. And the scripture says, God spoke to me one time years ago, and he says, you hate my people. I said, God, no, I don't hate your people at all. I love your people. I'm pouring my life out for your people. He says, you hate my pastors. They're my people. And I said, God, but you know, that experience and that experience and that experience. God, do you remember when this happened? You remember that? Remember when they all got together and said, oh my goodness, Lord. And he said, you hate my people. And he says this, he says, hates his brother, he's a liar. God, I love you, but I hate these pastors. Do you remember years ago when we started praying for other pastors? That's when I asked God, I said, God, What can I do about the hate that I have for other pastors? Because I can go on and tell you a whole story of 10 years of stories just like that, where Debbie and I were rejected and rejected and rejected, and nobody wanted anything to do with us. And just, we both cried ourselves to sleep many times at night, begging God that we didn't have to pastor. And I have to tell you, so I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to pray for the pastors. I said, I promise you, I'll start praying for the pastors. He says, no, in front of your whole church on your knees. Do you remember when we started that? Some of you have been around long enough. Yes. Used to get down on my knees. Now I'm too old to get down on my knees. A miracle would be me getting up. First miracle you'd see tonight. But I get down on our knees, and we still to this day pray for other churches by name. Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalian, Charismatics, Pentecostals. Thank you for Calvary Chapels and Harvest, Oak Valley and Oasis and Inland Christian Center. And it goes on, the same thing every week. Now we've added some new churches that are around town. In those days, they weren't around. And the reason for that is because we're saying something. We're not saying we love you, God, and hate your people. By the way, the more we prayed for them, the more they came around, and the more we loved them, and the more they loved us. Yep. It was amazing how love never, what? Fails. Tonight, that's what this is all about. Tonight, we're learning something. And I love this. What love proves. Love proves true discipleship. Love proves how genuine you are. Love proves spiritual speech. Love proves the reality of my new life. And love proves that I really do love God. If you got something from God tonight, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.